Il faut que je commence par m'excuser auprès de vous, surtout auprès de mes amis de l'Institut. Normalement, quand je reviens, je me lance à cours perdu et je fais l'étranger charmant autant que je peux. Mais cette fois-ci, je n'ai pas eu. Normalement, ça se fait après avoir passé quelques jours à Paris. Donc, je n'ai pas eu cette préparation, et donc il me manque un peu, le mot ne me vient pas facilement à l'idée, donc je suis décidé, je m'excuse, c'est pour ça qu'il faut que je m'excuse auprès de vous. Je suis donc décidé, pour me rendre un peu, dans l'espérance de me rendre utile, de passer en anglais, parce que c'est quand même une langue qui m'est plus familière que le français, et donc c'est la faute à Covid, c'est la faute à Denis qui m'a pas fait venir, mais donc je passe maintenant en anglais. So I will say that I will start by offering some I think some uncontroversial some considerations on what I think are quite uncontroversial structural parallels between law and philosophy. And then I will, through that, I will work my way towards some considerations on what I think is at stake in this idea of writing the history of the a conflict, du conflit de faculté. And I will start by saying I think that, as much as I understand the temptation to frame, have Kant's text frame this seminar, there's also a way in which Kant's text sort of, distorts what is at stake. To say that the problem that this is to cast this in terms of a conflict of faculties is sort of, well, that's obviously that must be right. But then as to some extent, that's not specific to law and philosophy. All faculties, by virtue of being set in this sort of common frame, which is university, are in, look to what the others are doing and are jealous of what, of what others are doing. So to some extent, there's just we just have to think about the sort of the fraternal sort of hatred between psychology and forms of phenomenology in the 60s and psychoanalysis and so these things are I think that's sort of part and parcel of the way we pose the question that to some extent law and philosophy are no more destined to, by virtue of being university pursuits or academic pursuits, are no more destined to be at war with each other than war and medicine, than philosophy and medicine. And I think that it might just simply be that philosophy, that law is very well funded, and hence that attracts the sort of that sort of. Sort of attracts, that explains the attraction and hence also the conflict. And so I would say that to some extent, this is a it's certainly it's an interesting as interesting as the text is. I think that there may not be, I'm perhaps doubtful how much mileage there is in seeing this problem as a problem essentially of how to resolve a conflict between faculties. I'm also skeptical, as Denis said. He said, "Il y a un problème d'objet." I completely agree with that. And that's of course always the problem having to be the discussant of somebody that you always agree with. I agree with most of, I always do agree with most of what Denis has to say. I also think that this is not perhaps about the object. And I think that so there might be something else that we have to look at to understand this attraction that, because there is attraction historically, there's attraction that, that law exercises a certain attraction on philosophy. And I think that some of the I think that also this the I reading this text by Jean-Luc Nancy was also for me sort of a bit of an eye opener. Well, not was for me a bit of an eye-opener. What little I've read of his, I am much more familiar with Derrida, and what I've read of Nancy, I've always found to be very self-indulgent. But this was a brilliant, brilliant text, which and I think that this notion of arealité that he introduces, I think is very, very, is very useful to understand what it is about law and philosophy. And these are, as I said, some of these, for those who've read the text, some of these trivial structural parallels that I mentioned. I think that there's, of course, the attraction is, and Denis spoke about that, is that there's something about there's a shared sensibility, that both are discourses that are auto-referential, that ground their own legitimacy. And both don't really perhaps have an object. It's perhaps at the level of the missing object that we find, I think, what might explain this sort of attraction and tension between law and philosophy. But I think that these are where I would say, and this is where we then get close to what I think is, I think Denis is right to signal as the problem of how to write the history of the philosophy of law. And I think the operative term here is history, because there is, of course, a history. And the question, I think, is just, what is that history? And I think that's underdetermined here. And I think that that needs to be, that's something that I think needs to be, I would, you know, like to press both of you on, what is that history? Because if we, you know, if we go back and you know, at least one of the possible histories that we could, one of the possible trajectories that we could sort of situate this sort of I don't know what to say this in French or in English now, sort of this la gigantomachie, to situate that within, would of course be sort of, you know, we would of course be late medieval reconstitution of political philosophy, where we see how law functions as a placeholder and as the manifestation of human life in its fallen state. So law becomes, I know this about, I know a little bit about this for having worked on Marsilius of Padua, and how we see how the return to Aristotelian philosophy, and his work is of course the conduit through which Aristotle's political philosophy passes into the late Middle Ages, and is then sort of then becomes really sort of a then becomes or gives an impetus to the sort of the return to something like political philosophy, and we see that law really is the sort of it's the backdrop to all of that. Law as Roman law is the sort of the point zero of social life, and so that law, and that's of course a very Hobbesian notion. That's why somebody like Hobbes can then code social life, albeit at a, you know, sort of minimalist, a very minimalist conception of social life, can code that through law. And then we get sort of and then philosophy and the conceptual adventure that is German idealism becomes essentially an exercise in how to articulate a political life that sort of that's grafted onto this sort of embedded in or parachuted when shoehorned into this sort of this legal framework. And there we find that, you know, so law is at the same time sort of the base level, but then also as in this exercise of philosophy where this exercise of philosophy tends towards this sort of what Charles Le Brun has called the sort of the presentism, that this presentism that he's analyzed in Hegel, this notion that it wants to, it reapproaches law, because what it wants in law, the philosophy then, what attracts philosophy in law is this notion of just being, of complete presence unto itself. So when Denis writes, in relation to Jean-Luc Nancy, that what happens when philosophy, que se passe-t-il lorsque la philosophie se fait juridique, and then objects to Nancy, or at least comments on Nancy rather than objects. Il ne faut pas, this is page 9, il ne faut pas sous-estimer la difficulté même du fait de poser cette question, mais pour la poser correctement, ne faut-il pas faire un pas de plus et dire au sens où la philosophie, en tant qu'elle est elle-même, où elle ne cherche pas à se spécialiser ou à prendre une autre figure, se veut être le droit lui-même. And I think that's right. I think that is right, but it's not right. But it needs to be that, you know, that it's not, on condition, it's right on condition that we agree that what philosophy wants and tends toward is law, but not no longer law as the basis of political life, but law as, in a metaphoric sense, law as something that is, that just is. And so I think that and that's still, I would say, an uncontroversial and rather trivial point, is that law functions semantically. It does different sorts of work. Now, that is possible within a specific history. There's a specific history in which law does that. And that history, and that's at least been, that's the way, what I've argued, you know, that's, you know, I think that's the approach that I've always, that history is no longer. Cette histoire est révolue. That's not, so when we pose the question, and that's for various reasons, that I think that so in saying that, you know, in saying in conclusion, as Denis does, the, first of all, that, you know, is there a peace treaty? Can we resolve the conflict? Within that history, we couldn't, because that history revolved around the tension between law as the normative baseline, the point zero of social life, and law as the as complete and complete immanence, a complete presence unto itself. So within that history, there's no resolution of that. That history is driven by the tension between these two terms, and then. But then saying that this is perhaps the question we have to ask ourselves, is whether we can write the history of philosophy of law, is that that history is no more. So if that's what we do, we also consign philosophy of law to being a historical object only. And so I think that that there might be another history. There are, of course, always other histories. There's another history that we might need to turn things on its. And it's not something I've just thought of. The book that I, my PhD, which Jean-François was, was on the committee for, and which has now been translated into French. So I would advise you all to go and read it before it's adapted into a film. Is based on this idea that what we need to explain is not philosophy of law as, it's not the paradigm, it's the exception. I think what needs to be understood here is, why was that possible? Why was it possible for a period of time to code political life through law? It's no longer possible. Denis made that, you know, Denis made the points he made about the normative political theory that people will look to Rawls or Habermas or what have you, or now perhaps, you know, democracy theory have taken over. So coding political life through law is no longer possible. So we should, I think, the first thing we should perhaps get away from is to think that this syntagm that Denis started out by speaking about, that that's really the paradigm. It's not, it's the exception. And it was an exception that had specific material, social, and intellectual preconditions. And now writing the history of that exception is a worthwhile pursuit. I would never deny that. That's part of what I've done, not with great success, but that's part of what I've done in my time at university. But there's also a way in which it's only if we understand this as an exception that we can do, I think, can do something. I think that would open up venues, more promising venues, for doing what philosophy of law was doing, but in the conditions that are, you know, those in which we have to operate or navigate today. All right, I think that was not as worked out as I would have wanted. It was not as elusive as I would have feared, but I think those are my comments.